Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's time for the Wrestling Perspective podcast on Fightful and on our regular feeds, Wrestling Perspective, wherever you find that kind of stuff. Myself, the hairless Dennis Farrell, alongside the all-star, the Grand Marshal, Dimitri Young, Cincinnati Reds, Detroit Tigers, wrestling fan, and a little too sweet. As he's got his little NWO shirt on. What's up, bud?
Hey, what dance am I doing right there?
I'm not hip with it. I don't know. Is that the Carlton?
That's Prince Nana, baby.
Oh, that's right. Listen, congrats to Swerve Strickland, who we're still trying to get on the podcast. Can you remember, and you know, we talk about this stuff all the time, but can you remember the last time, I'd say two, because of TNA, two major wrestling organizations both had black champions at the same time?
Pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It's amazing. Listen, I think we've talked about this many times. Ron Simmons,
yes, we have.
One of my favorite wrestlers of all time, the first black champion. Here we are in this new age. WWE, if they pulled the trigger, this could be maybe the first time in wrestling history where we have three major organizations with black champions.
Oh, very well could be. You know, yeah, Bobby Lashley, yeah. Kofi can always step back up, you know. Montez Ford can finally break away from Street Profits. I mean, you got many, many different directions that you can go. But for Shane Swerve Strickland to defeat Samoa Joe, I listened to it. I didn't get it. My buddy Chris didn't get it. He was out all day on Sunday. And he's an AEW guy, too.
Does Chris watch the podcast?
I force him to.
All right. Well, Chris, that's bullshit, man. Bullshit. When the Grand Marshal says, hey, you get the AEW pay-per-view, you go get the AEW pay-per-view. Did you let Chris come over and watch the TNA pay-per-view?
No. I don't host. I come over, I bring appetite. I bring my excitement of professional wrestling and my knowledge of the game. And I talk amongst the cousins about the different things that are going on. We had one, Chris's cousin, Ronnie, he's a big AEW guy. So when we were watching WrestleMania, I wanted to hit him across the face with one of those throw pillows that they had on the couch because he just kept going, oh, well, AEW would have done it this way. And I was like, oh, shut up.
One of those guys.
Yes.
Well, you tell Chris when he gets two MLB All-Stars, then he can come to your house.
No, I like going to other people's house. I don't like hosting.
When would you come to my place then?
We'll talk about that off air.
Ooh. Is there a trip to Detroit in Dimitri Young's future?
I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. Maybe in the next show or two, I may bring it up.
Oh, can we end the show right this second so we can talk?
No, we got a lot to talk about.
Well, WWE doing another draft. In the past, it has fallen flat. We are going to revisit the drafts from 2002 was the first one, I believe. We're going to go back, revisit some of those drafts, some of those draft picks. We're going to approach this from like a NFL draft kind of way where we go.
I'm going to go with MLB.
MLB draft. All right. I mean,
it's the same.
Kind of. MLB's finally stepping up their draft games. What, the last 2 years, 3 years, really? Because in the past, it's like, you know, you read about it in the paper, they select some kid that you may see 7 years down the road.
Obviously, you don't have MLB Network, and they have it in Secaucus, New Jersey on MLB Network. And they have, basically in the infield, they'll have all the different teams that are sitting down. And then in the dugout, you'll have, they'll probably have about five or six potential first rounders that are there. Mm-hmm. And most of them are high school kids. And it's just a great experience for them. So when their name gets called up, you know, they're beside their parents sitting, and then they'll get up there and they go to the podium and they'll put on the jersey. And, you know, they're like, yeah. And then one of the people from MLB Network will interview the player and talk about how excited they are to get drafted, about moving forward with their career going pro. So they really stepped it up. So when I was drafted back in 1991, when there was no HD television, I got a phone call. And I actually got a phone call from my high school, Rio Mesa and Oxnard. They called me and was like, Dimitri, this is, I forgot the principal's name, but he was like, the St. Louis Cardinals called, and I believe you're like their first pick. So that's how I found out. So you talking about being at the wrong place. Like, why am I going to go to school when there's draft day? Right. Exactly. When my brother was drafted 12 years later, they did it. It was online. We had a little party that was at the house. And then from there, I went and played against the Padres. This was when I was with the Tigers. When they announced it on a computer, and they didn't announce Delman Young. They had like some number, almost like a cell block number, like 4832187. Everybody just kind of looked around, and the guy that was from MLB, he gives two thumbs up, and we're like, yay! You know, congratulations. But now, you know, they do the draft right. So what were you about to say, sir?
Well, I know this is a wrestling podcast. You're from a former MLB baseball player, but I don't know if I've ever asked you this. Were you expecting to go to the Cardinals, or did you think you'd get drafted to another team?
Funny that you say that. I worked out for about five different teams. Worked out for the Yankees, the Braves, the Twins, the Cardinals, and I actually went to San Diego to work out in front of the Padres, and they were playing the Braves, just so happened. So with the Padres, I worked out, took some balls in the outfield, took some ground balls at third base, was hitting on both sides of the plate, and this was right before the game too, so there was fans that were already out there, the Braves were out there. And so when I'm getting ready to go to the suite where they put us up in, I grab all my stuff that they gave me. Gary Templeton gave me a glove. Rich Rodriguez.
Gary Templeton.
and Rich Rodriguez, who I wound up doing baseball camps with out here in Southern California years later, gave me some batting gloves. And then Tony Gwynn go, "Way to hit the ball, big guy." And I was blushing like a baby.
Thank you.
And, yeah. And so I thought I was going to be a Padre. The Padres had the 8th pick. The Cardinals had the 4th pick. The Yankees were number one. They picked Brian Taylor. The Braves were second. They picked Mike Kelly out of Arizona State. The Twins picked Dave McCarty. And, you know, just want to have a moment of silence for him. He passed away this past last week from a heart attack. And this was right after they had the 2004 team out in Boston. And Pokey Reese was the one that actually told me what happened. And it was just like, oh, God, that's sad. And he said that he took a picture with, it was all the first rounders from 91. Dave McCarty was 3. I want to say Manny Ramirez was like 12 or 13. And then Pokey was the 20th pick. And all three of them are World Series champions with the Boston Red Sox. And then I worked out with the Cardinals at my high school. And they were using balls that weren't solid baseball. So when I was hitting, I may have hit one or two out, but the balls was like barely getting out and I felt like I was weak. But my dad told me later on after the draft that they purposely used different baseballs just to see, you know, actual raw power. But I seriously thought I was going to the Padres. Oh my God, that would have been awesome.
Oh, and those Padre teams too. I mean, just the name value on those teams.
You know what? The city of San Diego. If I wasn't living here in Camarillo, I would be in San Diego in a heartbeat.
Mm. Well, now on to some wrestling. I just, you know, we don't deep dive that much into your career, so that was a little exciting for me.
We'll have one little tidbit every show. We can do that.
I try to dig that out. So we go in the draft. Before we look back, let's talk about coming up. What would you like to see production-wise in this draft? Because this is a new regime, new era. And I will tell you, after your thoughts, the conversation I had with Petey where I felt like he should pitch this. And I may have said this on the show, but I told him, I just recently saw him. I was like, dude, it needs to be set up like this. But in your mind, sitting down, you're turning on, you know, Raw, SmackDown to see the show. How do you want to see it played out?
Visually, I can't really get a mental picture of it. But what I would like to see, some stuff that they do in the drafts in the NFL, the MLB. Well, not necessarily MLB. They don't do like where they'll trade up for a person. They'll trade, you know, selection spots. Or make some sort of trade or whatever. With once they pick a person, they'll trade and maybe, you know, I want to see some crazy stuff. I want to see the war room going on. I want to see all the stuff that you see in an actual draft in any of these sports arenas.
I kind of said it shouldn't be a Raw or a SmackDown. I think people would, whether you filmed it after a you know, an event, so you have a live stadium or whatever. I felt like the draft should be a online standalone show. I don't want to see two draft picks and then a wrestling match and whoever wins that wrestling match, that show gets the next pick. I don't want to see any of that crap. Have it on. People will go to YouTube. People will go to TikTok or wherever WWE has their social medias. They will watch it. And I would love to see it kind of set up like a real sports draft. War rooms, you have tables with guys in suits sitting around them waiting to get drafted. Oh, yeah. And you know, even like the presentation where I feel like you could be like, you know, we think Miz could go here. And, you know, in the past 3 or 4 years, Miz has gone 5, 7, and 9 in the drafts. Maybe he's gone up, or talk about how a guy has slipped in the draft versus last year, where that kind of stuff to me would be exciting, where you draw from the past where Randy Orton's been in 9 drafts and the highest he's gone is 4th, the lowest he's gone is 13th. Yeah. You know, I'm just throwing out random dates there. And no, I feel like you could build upon a draft history by doing it that way.
That's brilliant right there. I mean, I got to give it to you. That is brilliant. And like you said, a standalone show as opposed to doing the matches and stuff, to me, that really made no sense.
I totally agree. I always hated it. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I remember actually watching the first couple of WWE drafts. And I remember watching one of them, and then it was like Raw versus SmackDown, and whoever wins gets that draft pick. And I didn't like that. It didn't really feel like I'd like to see trades. You know, I know not everybody's going to go, and maybe you have a supplemental draft where shows, you know, can do that online too. But I don't feel like that needs to be on Raw or SmackDown. You can do like a draft update during the show after, you know, on the next week where, oh, here's the new roster. Here's where we go. Here's some highlights from the draft, and maybe build upon your social media that way.
I mean, all that sounds good. I mean, it's get away from what we've seen in the past. That's all I'm concerned with. And I'm pretty sure Triple H and crew were going to have something very special for us. I'm hoping and praying. I'm banking on it.
Well, let's take a look back at the 2002 draft. And we won't go through the whole draft. We'll probably do the first 10 picks of every year or as many years until time runs out. And if it's successful, do it again some other time. If not, we won't do it again. But 2002, SmackDown had the first pick. Dimitri, go back in your way back machine. 2002, who do you think was the first overall pick in the 2002 draft?
Oh, God. Was it The Undertaker?
No. The Rock.
Oh, he was still around. He wasn't making movies yet?
Not yet. He was the first overall pick. Number two was The Undertaker. He went to Raw, which was very odd because it felt like The Undertaker, SmackDown was his show through the early 2000s and late 2000s. So for The Rock to be on SmackDown, but although the SmackDown was built after his, you know, moniker, so maybe that does make sense, kind of trying to revisit that era again. But yeah, 2002, The Rock went number one. Undertaker went number two. Number three, Kurt Angle. The number four pick, the NWO.
See, and I don't like that. I like that groups. I don't like when tag teams get separated, like the 1 year when the Dudleys got separated and Devon all of a sudden became the Deacon or whatever he was called, and then brought, what was he? It was Reverend or something like that. And then that was when Deacon Batista came in to exist. And those that don't know who Deacon Batista is, just drop Deacon.
You know, I kind of agree because it seemed like throughout the years, some groups got separated, some groups stayed together, and it never made sense. It never had any flow to it. You either break the groups up and you have to draft them separately, or groups all go at once. I don't like how you can separate a tag team, but groups stay together. I think they need to shy away from that if you're trying to bring some realism into this.
Oh, exactly. There's no need to break up a tag team, especially they're doing good. You know, separating DIY, for instance.
Right. Well,
I wouldn't like that.
The NWO goes number three. Raw's second pick, by the way. Raw's second pick was Undertaker, then was the NWO, Kevin Nash, X-Pac, and Scott Hall at that time. After that, SmackDown gets the fifth pick overall. Chris Benoit
was incredible. You know, I mean, granted, what happened, and it was an unfortunate event, and people tend to ignore the fact that when they did a scan on his brain, what they say, it was comparable to an 85-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as horrific as that is and, you know, unforgivable, I mean, that's the seriousness of concussions and the effects it can have on people.
I mean, you look at football players and some of the stuff they do. And I, you know, right now we all like to laugh and giggle at Antonio Brown, but, you know, you got to worry with these guys that take the head injuries like that. You know, and maybe I was wrong. I don't know his name, but the offensive lineman for the Steelers several years ago that drove his car head on into traffic and killed a bunch of people. And, you know, it's that brain injury stuff.
Yeah, Junior Seau. I mean, the list goes on and on, you know, and we're not even talking about name players. We're talking about guys that played football at the highest level. And you know what? There are guys that are in college that were like that. And, you know, and back in the day, how they swept, you know, getting your bell rung under the rug. And it's like, you're getting your bell rung, you're losing something up here. Me being an athlete, a former athlete, seeing the steps that they take about not only your health, but your mental health. So that is very, very important to see nowadays. And, you know, I'm not saying give Chris Benoit a break because that was horrific and stuff, but I mean, that would be a little bit better understanding. And I think, you know, as years go by, you know, people start talking more and more about the greatness that Chris Benoit did as a wrestler, not the way that he ended his life, his wife and his son's life.
Well, he was the number 5th pick overall in the 2002 draft. After that, number 6, Kane, he goes to Raw. Hulk Hogan at number 7 in 2002 to SmackDown. Number 8th overall, Rob Van Dam. I might have taken Rob over Hulk Hogan if I was like, if this was a legitimate draft. Maybe the NWO was a little bit bigger, but at the same time, you get 3 guys for the price of 1. Hulk Hogan definitely overdrafted there at number 7 in 2002. Rob Van Dam at number 8. Number 9, Billy Gunn and Chuck Palumbo. At number 9.
You look so good to me.
They were the WWF Tag Team Champions at the time. Keep that in mind. If you're like, oh, that's way too high. Hell, at number 9, you just got Tag Team Champions, whether you think they're legit or not. At number 10, Booker T.
Man, can you dig it, sucker?
I think Booker T should have gone above Hulk Hogan. I think Booker T definitely should have gone above Billy Gunn and Palumbo at that point. In 2002, and then, you know, at number 11, Edge.
Was that when Edge finally broke away from Edge and Christian? And so he was at the start of his
rise to New York, the top.
Yes.
Big Show at number 12.
Okay. I mean,
Rikishi at number 13.
Was that heel Rikishi or bum, 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 bum?
See, I don't remember. 2002, so long ago.
That's 22 years ago.
Yep. And this, by the way, was the draft where the Dudleys get separated, because at number 14 going to Raw was Bubba Ray Dudley. At number 15 was Devon Dudley.
Boo.
16th overall in the 2002 WWE draft, Brock Lesnar to Raw.
Okay. That'll never happen again.
No. At number 17, Mark Henry.
Okay, he's coming up.
18, William Regal.
Ah, okay.
Number 19, Maven.
He was actually not bad, you know, coming off of the first year of Tough Enough, him being the co-winner, him and Nydia.
Now, I don't remember in the order this happened, but I think this was this the same year he eliminated the Undertaker out of the Royal Rumble?
I'm gonna have to say yes.
Has to be, because he wasn't there long.
No, not at all.
At 20, we get our first woman drafted, Lita.
Okay, she was on top of the world at that time.
At 21, and now keep in mind some of the names that are still left in 2002. At 21, Billy Kidman.
Was he the cruiserweight champion at that time?
Nope. 22, Bradshaw.
Was he? Nope. Okay, he was Bradshaw. He wasn't JBL yet.
Nope, he was so Bradshaw.
He was Acolyte Bradshaw. He was
still, yes. At 23, to Jerry, who was a cruiserweight champion at the time.
Okay, he was all right coming from ECW.
At 24, Steven Richards.
ECW. Mm-hmm.
25, Chris Jericho.
Whoa. Hold on. Dang, why so low? Did he take a hiatus?
I don't know. He went to SmackDown at number 25 overall. 26, going to Raw, Matt Hardy.
Was this when the Hardy, were they feuding against each other at that time?
Once again, don't remember.
I know. I keep asking you like you got the way back machine going.
Yeah, listen, we can talk about when we get to later days, but this kind of in 2002, I don't know where your fandom was for wrestling, but I think I kind of popped in and out. Like I might have still been butthurt over WCW going away. Because I was a WCW.
Yeah.
I think kind of in the 2002 era, you kind of tune in and out a little bit. You know, I think it was transitioning in 2002 out of that attitude era into the whatever they called that. You know,
at that aggression.
Boy, I still think we were a couple of years away from that, wasn't we?
It was like right on the cusp because in 2002, well, with Brock Lesnar, of course, Randy Orton came along and then.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena with them ugly tights and pinning Kurt Angle. And oh, yeah, that was very generic.
At 27, SmackDown, we get our second woman drafted, Ivory.
She's so underrated.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
So underrated, man. Wow. She wrestled when nobody else was wrestling.
She had skill.
Yeah, she did. She was what was her name on GLOW? Lisa Ferraro or Ferraro,
something like that.
Something like that.
28 to Raw, Raven.
Scotty
Flamingo. Yep. 29 to SmackDown, Albert.
Prince Albert.
30 to Raw, Jeff Hardy.
Hmm.
Yep. 31 to SmackDown, the Hurricane, Greg Helms.
I liked him.
You know, we're kind of getting to the point, and there are certain names I kind of want to bring up and some I kind of want to skip over, but we're getting to this point now in the draft where there's still some pretty decent names still left that I'm shocked. You know, you drop down to, let's go down to 35 to SmackDown, Lance Storm. D'Lo went at 36. Diamond Dallas Page went at 37. I'm kind of
WWF really screwed over DDP. That whole stalker angle, especially him being who he was in WCW, that was horrible.
38, Sean Stasiak.
Meat.
Yes. You know, I'm kind of looking through Farouk. Went at 49.
And we all know who that is.
That's damn right. Big Boss Man at 50. By the way, Justin Credible went above all those guys, if you're keeping count. And Perry Saturn was the last pick in that draft.
You're Mr. Irrelevant.
That's right. And that would be awesome if they like had a Mr. I'm glad you said that because I didn't even think of it until then. If you did have a Mr. Irrelevant in every WWE draft and they pushed it kind of, you know, like a money in the bank where Mr. Irrelevant and maybe he does something great that year.
Yeah, you can build a character off of being Mr. Irrelevant.
Now, apparently they didn't have drafts for 2 years after that because the next draft was 2004. As we go in, I will pull this up here. Let's take a look. 2004, first pick overall, Rene Dupree.
He was number one.
He was number one.
They were obviously wanting to push that young man.
Number one overall.
So sidebar, whatever happened to him? I know he was with La Resistance. He was the youngest champion until Nicholas came along. And I mean, he had the looks, he had the body, he had that. I love this character, that snooty French, vis-a-vis. So whatever happened to him? I mean,
I don't know, but there are so many names here. Like number two overall, Shelton Benjamin.
Man,
this might have been the. Because wasn't it kind of like there was a period in the drafts where like superstars didn't really get drafted? This might be that one year. Well, I take it back. Because at number five overall was Triple H. Those guys went above Triple H. At number six was Rhino. Number seven to SmackDown was Rob Van Dam. Then Tajiri went at number eight that year. Teddy Long got drafted as a manager at number nine overall.
Really? That's like Sebastian Janikowski getting picked in the first round by the Raiders being a kicker.
Edge goes 10th overall that year. Spike Dudley and Paul Heyman gets drafted 12 overall as a manager. I know. And that was the extent of that year's draft.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good at all. 2005, let's take a look here. 2005, number one overall pick and WWE champion at that time, John Cena.
Okay.
Number two overall, Chris Benoit.
Was he a champion?
No.
Of any kind?
Not at that time. Nope.
He was still one of the best wrestlers.
Still one of the best at that time. Number three going to Raw was Kurt Angle.
Okay.
Number four in 2005, Randy Orton.
Where he would pretty much be the rest of his career up top.
Now, let me ask you this. At that time, go back to 2005, Chris Benoit, amazing wrestler. You know, Randy Orton, up and comer. I don't know if we knew Randy Orton would be the Randy Orton he is today. We knew he would be great, but I don't know if we knew that Randy Orton would be a surefire WWE Hall of Famer going forward. But at that time, if you're taking this pick, do you take Benoit or do you take Randy Orton?
Oh man, I mean, that's real tough, but I mean, cause Chris Benoit was on top of his game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get a prime Chris Benoit, who the Canadian crippler, I mean, he was just amazing at that time. Where Randy Orton, was he Legend Killer at that time? Or
no, 2005. That might even have been before Evolution.
So was that when he had the cool little hair and stuff and he broke it? What did he mess up, his arm or shoulder or something? And he was doing those little vignettes during matches and stuff?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
this was
his physique.
Yep. But this was even probably before they did Legacy, because Legacy came before Evolution, right? No, or it came after.
Yeah, well after. Because that was when Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase Jr. were in the mix.
Right.
And they weren't there yet.
Let's see here. Number five, Carlito.
All right. He was hot.
He liked him.
When he came in.
Yes, I absolutely liked him. At number six, Muhammad Hussein.
Oh, what could have been?
What could have been? Number seven, Big Show. Number eight, Rob Van Dam. At number nine overall, Christian.
All right. He's finally getting some flowers.
At number 10, the World Heavyweight Champion. At number 10, I keep in mind, at 10, Hussein, Carlito, you know, Randy Orton all went before Dave Bautista.
Strange. I'll leave it at that.
Yes, head scratcher, right? You look, once again, you look back at these drafts and go, holy cow, what did I miss? 2006, there was only two selections in the 2006 draft.
For real?
That's it. That's
not even a draft. That's like a little supplemental, like player to be named later trade type stuff.
Rob Van Dam at number one. At number two to ECW, Kurt Angle.
That sounds like a waste.
I totally agree. Not crazy. Now we go to 2007. The 2007 draft, which had, let's see here, selections. Way more drafts, by the way. So that's going to be helpful here. Number one overall, Edge.
Okay, he was a world heavyweight champion at that time, or WWE champion, one to two.
Oh, actually, no. What they did was they had matches. I read that wrong. So 2007, Edge defeats John Cena for the first pick overall for SmackDown. CM Punk defeats Carlito for the for a draft pick. Umaga beats Balls Mahoney for a draft pick. ECW defeated Chris Benoit for a draft pick. MVP beats Santino Marella for a draft pick, which is okay. By the way, MVP, one of my favorite wrestlers as well. Candice Michelle beats Crystal Marshall, which that's was that Booker T's wife?
No, that's Bobby Lashley's ex-wife.
Okay. Let's see here. Batista beats Elijah Burke and Jeff Hardy for in a triple threat match for a pick. And then a tri-brand 15-man battle royal where Randy Orton won for two picks. Now on to the draft. Number one pick overall. You ready?
Great Khali. All right, next draft.
Yeah, it's, well, it doesn't get any better than that because the Boogeyman goes to number two to ECW. Number three, Booker T, or King Booker at the time. Once again, okay. Why would King Booker not be the first pick in that draft?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I mean, when you say a great Khali, I just went limp.
I totally agree. It's so dumb. Okay. King Booker, number four, ECW, Chris Benoit. Benoit, you know, that's his third top 10 pick, his second in 2 years, top five. Torrey Wilson.
He was incredible.
Yep. Torrey Wilson goes to SmackDown. Chris Masters. I like him. Dude, that guy had the look.
Yeah, he did. I don't know what happened with him, but I liked him too. You know, the Master Lock Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Lashley was the one that finally beat him. I remember that. And that's years later. I forgot a lot of stuff. I forgot a lot about my baseball career. But I did not forget about the Master Lock.
No. Hang on. My camera is acting a little goofy as we talk. Bobby Lashley goes number seven overall.
Rightfully so. I mean, he was up and coming at that time.
Yeah, he was still a young buck at that point, right?
And the funny thing is, he looked the exact same then as he does now.
Oh my!
He got that R-Truth serum.
That dude has not aged one bit. Ric Flair, number eight. At number 10, Mr. Kennedy, which I like Kennedy. I thought that dude had all the mic skills in the world. I'm not going to pretend to know whether CM Punk, when he bashed him for injuring him, was right or wrong, or whether Kennedy.
No, that was Randy Orton.
Randy Orton. That's right. Whether Kennedy, you know, could wrestle or not wrestle. I can tell you anytime I saw Mr. Kennedy, I liked what he was doing.
Oh, every time he came out, it get dark, and then the spotlight beyond that mic comes down, and he introduces himself, and that was pretty original right there. I loved it. Isn't that the mic right there behind you? Your the logo.
That's right, Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy. When he does it that second time, gets me every time. I pop. There was a supplemental draft this year. Paul London, Brian Kendrick went number one in the supplemental. Kenny Dykstra, I'm just going to skip through. Viscera, if there's somebody you want to hit on, just say something, I'll stop. Viscera, Sandman, Hardcore Holly. The Miz goes at 16 in the supplemental.
All right. Has he had any championships at this particular time, or is he wearing that silly hat, that
silly fedora? The fedora. This was the fedora years. Daivari at number seven. Let's see here. Brett Major and Brian Major, the Major brothers.
Isn't that Brian Myers and Matt Cardona?
Yep.
The Edgeheads?
Yep. They won at 19 or 18. At 19 was William Regal. Then Victoria, Jillian, which, you know what, by the way, I'll say something about Jillian. Looking back at her career, the stuff she did when she was doing the bad singing stuff, I enjoyed.
Yeah, once the boogeyman ate that nasty ass growth off her jaw. Like, why did they even? What was the whole purpose of that? I mean, she was fine as hell, and she had that nasty growth on her face. What, I want to know what it tastes like when he ate it. I know.
No, you don't. You shut your mouth. You're but Jillian doesn't get her flowers in when we talk about women wrestlers back in that age, because I thought she kind of she had the most personality back then when you think of what she did and the stuff she did, whether you liked her or hate her.
Oh, her bad singing gimmick was hilarious.
I agree. At 22, and a gimmick that doesn't age well, Eugene.
Ooh, that wouldn't get over at all today. Oh my God, he'll be canceled like Joey Ryan.
Oh yeah, at 23 going to ECW. I'm going to say the name. Let's see if you remember who he is. Johnny Nitro.
You mean John Morrison, Johnny Impact, Johnny, whatever it is, Johnny Ring of Honor,
Johnny whatever. We're in Johnny the 2008. Yep. Johnny TV show, Johnny podcast, Johnny. Yes. Let's see here, in the spirit of skipping through things and making this more interesting, we'll only do the top 10 picks for 2008. Number one overall, got a guess?
Cena?
Nope. Rey Mysterio.
Oh, who's that jumping out the sky? Mysterio. Here we go. Oh, dang. Look at the stuff I remember. If I ever get Alzheimer's or dementia, play some wrestling for me. I guarantee I'm gonna remember it. It's gonna be lodged somewhere back there in my brain.
At 2008, the number two overall pick, Jeff Hardy.
Hey, he didn't come up over the years, hasn't he?
Number three, CM Punk.
Yeah, he was hot back then. He was getting hot.
Number four, Matt Hardy.
That was after he came back, after the whole thing with Leah and Edge, real life. Yep.
Now, if you're a wrestler, the next two picks are going to hurt your soul. At number five overall, Jim Ross, commentator.
I guess everybody got to be in the draft. Was Vince McMahon ever in any of the drafts?
Not that I know of, no. At number six overall, Michael Cole.
All right. Let's stop it right there real quick. Like, for managers and announcers and stuff like that, they ought to be part of trades. They shouldn't be in the draft itself. Maybe a trade like, all right, like when they start switching off all these announcers going to different places, they ought to do like that'd be part of the draft where you put them in as trades.
Yeah, what a weird time too, because in 2008 you have Jim Ross, Michael Cole going ahead of Batista, Umaga, Kane, Mr. Kennedy, and Triple H.
Hey, sometimes Vince McMahon's vision was off.
That was not a good vision. And I'm trying to skip through. Let's see here. At 18 overall went Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle he drafted above Matt Stryker, Shelton Benjamin, who Benjamin went, what, 2 years before that? Number one, number two overall, somewhere around there. Finley, uh-huh. Carlito, who dropped drastically because Carlito, what, a year or two ago in the drafts was, you know, a top 4 or 5 pick, now drops down to 26. Ooh. At 28, the Jamaican Kofi Kingston.
Oh. Who was that that called him out years later? Hey, they asked where his accent went.
Oh, I remember that on yes. That was hilarious. Now, we're skipping on to 2009 draft. We're 40 minutes into this podcast. I'm actually enjoying kind of a look back at these drafts. I don't know what you think.
Oh, yeah, this is fun. Yeah, this is fun.
Number one overall in the 2009 WWE draft, MVP, which...
Dude, he was a badass at that time. He was on top of his game.
His theme song and the way he came out from that inflatable tunnel, best presentation at that time. That theme song was badass.
And you know his outfit was a little before his time because he was looking like a Power Ranger at first.
Mm-hmm.
But now you look back and you see all these outlandish outfits and uniforms these guys wear. And I mean, that was kind of fitting of MVP. He had that big old MVP chain. And I mean, his cornrows. Oh, man. I would say I was jealous of him, but I had some bad ones when I was playing.
For 5 points, what does MVP stand for?
Montavious Ventriloquist Porter.
It was Porter. I thought it was Vontez. Wasn't it like Vontez Porter?
Yeah, something like that.
Yep. Yeah. We get the 5 points. At number two overall this year, 2009, Big Show. At number three, first woman wrestler here in this year's draft. And once again, another woman that I don't know if she gets the proper kudos for what she did during her time, Melina.
That's another underrated one. She had one of the best ring entrances of all time. When she gets mm-hmm. that leg up and that other one in and then slides under. And then when Santino Marella tried to do that, you.
Oh. Yes. Matt Hardy at number four this year. At number
five. Is that version two?
I think it has to be, right? 2009. This was after him and MVP did that classic. Was yeah. a gimmick where whatever you can do, I can do better. And then I think Hardy went on a losing streak during that time.
Yeah, and then they wound up winning on the tag team belts together.
Yeah, I kind of like
MVP
that.
MVP was the, oh, that was pretty good. I like when they had competitions like that.
Mm-hmm. Number five, Triple H, which was another kind of low year for the guy. I thought Triple, you know, since the Attitude Era in, what, 97, Triple H was kind of an over guy at that time. So for the last couple drafts, for him to be so low in these drafts is a little mind-boggling for me.
I mean, he's in the top 10, so that's not too bad. If he was in the teens and the 20s, then, you know, he may have pissed off Daddy.
At number six, CM Punk. At number seven, from supplemental draft, to number seven overall, The Miz.
Hey, he's moving on up. And you know what? Kudos to The Miz starting out as Mike Mizanin from The Real World. And I watched The Real World back then too. So when, yeah, The Real World was badass. The first few years was badass. Afterwards, it kind of got a little stale. But those first few years, and then he was in Tough Enough. But when he was on The Real World, he would always act like a wrestler. He would act like how you see the backyard wrestling dudes. They're always putting moves and stuff on. And he talked about wanting to be a professional wrestler. And, I mean, he's going strong today with awesome truth. So, I mean, for where he came from, and you hear the horror story where he kicked them out of the locker room and stuff like that. And it's like now he's one of the locker room leaders.
I mean, when we talk about guys who get into the wrestling business who were not wrestlers, right? We always go, oh, Logan Paul, you know, right now, number one. And then we name all these guys. We always leave The Miz off this list for whatever reason that, you know, you forget he started as a television reality star. And, you know, I might put The Miz above anybody else. Athletes that got into wrestling that were not wrestlers, you got to put The Miz up there, maybe on that Mount Rushmore of guys, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for what his climb up, his longevity, him being he's a WWE guy through and through. He does all the stuff where you go out there and promote WWE. He does all the stuff where you work with the kids and I love The Miz, whatever role that he plays, but it's awesome to see him right now with R-Truth, especially. Is this around the time where they had the Awesome Truth together, or was that a few years down the road?
I think it was a few years down the road. I don't think the Awesome Truth came around until, what, 2010, 2011-ish?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, or 2012, somewhere in that range. But it's like, you know, for those two to get together and win at WrestleMania, you know, it was like, mwah. So I'm a big Miz fan. I won't even say a secret Miz fan, because I watched The Miz and the Misses. And watching how, yeah, I mean, this really? Guy is he's made for television. He's
okay. All right. You know what? I will silently judge you over here in my corner of the world. After The Miz at number 7 in 2009, we have Kane at number 8. Number 9, Chris Jericho. At number 10, Vladimir Kozlov. Yeah.
Well, when he first came in, he was that mean Russian dude, and he reminded me of Ivan Drago from Rocky.
And you know, I think it had been many, many years since WWE really had a Russian heel. That and you know, in the heydays, when you think of good wrestling, there was always one good Russian in a group of guys, not yeah. face, but one Russian that really could push. And I felt like at that time period, that wasn't a bad guy. They just didn't utilize him right. And then he became a comic act.
Yeah, with Santino Marella.
Mm-hmm.
They did win the tag team belts together.
They did. Maurice won at 11, and Rey Mysterio won at number 12 overall.
Wait a minute, who won at 11?
Maurice.
Oh, The Miz's wife.
Yes.
She had to have been the women's champion at the time, or the divas champion.
Yes. It doesn't say on this one, but yes, she was the divas champion. Let's see here. And to go back through, just so you know, Cena was the United States champion at the time. Melina was a women's champion. Let's see here. Triple H at number 5 overall was the WWE champion. Money in the Bank contract holder at number 6 was CM Punk, just so you know. I totally missed it. The Miz had just split from John Morrison at this draft. And yes, Maurice was the Divas champion. And then at number 12 overall, Intercontinental champion, Rey Mysterio.
Hey, back to what you said about The Miz and Morrison. I thought Morrison was going to be the Shawn Michaels of the group.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Boy, you know, he's been around wrestling forever, but he's also one of those guys that on paper you think should be a billion-time champion at every organization he's been at. And he went on that streak of – and he was Kofi before Kofi was in the Royal Rumbles, where he was doing amazing things to stay in the match. And he just never got over that hump of being a good wrestler to being a superstar.
Yeah, that was surprising to me, because shortly thereafter, didn't he get released?
Was it shortly thereafter? Because I think he got released pretty quick.
I thought he was gone like right after that.
I think you're right. Let's see here. Do you want to do 2011, or should we skip a little bit ahead?
It depends on what you're reading there, if it's worth mentioning or. Wait, isn't that the Summer of Punk?
Well, 2010 is next. We can skip to 2011, and then there wasn't no draft until 2016.
All right, let's go on and do 2010 or 11, whichever one.
Let's go 11. You think it's a summer of punk? We will find out in this draft as we look at the selections. Bunch of matches. At number one overall, John Cena, of course, Raw, not a title holder. At number two, he went to SmackDown to Raw, Rey Mysterio. Not a champion at the time. Number three, SmackDown has three draft picks at this time now. They take Randy Orton, Mark Henry, and Sin Cara.
Hey, sometimes your first rounders are a bust.
Obviously. Number six overall, Big Show. Number seven, like him or hate him, you agree with whatever has happened to him in his personal life, Alberto Del Rio.
Well, when he came in, he was supposed to be the man, and he was the man for the time that he was. His first stint in WWE, he was pretty doggone good. Question.
Yes.
This is 2011. Nexus?
Nothing.
Is this the summer of Nexus, or was that 2012?
It had to have been 12 or 13, maybe. Which, let's skip through. Everything looks copacetic. Let's jump to 2016 because there's not a draft for the next couple of years. Their big return to drafts. Let's see here. Let's see here. Results. No draft. Selections. Here we go. At 2016, the first overall pick, Seth Rollins. In 2016,
Dean Ambrose. That's obviously after the Shield split up.
Of course, because Dean Ambrose is the number two pick and the WWE champion in 2016. He goes at number two overall.
Okay.
Charlotte is number three. She's a women's champion.
Now, is she the highest woman that has been drafted ever?
As of right now in 2016 to this point, yes. Now, I don't know. Maybe we can go back to the couple drafts in the next few minutes we have, as we've already done an hour now. Number four overall, AJ Styles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Legit.
Number five, Finn Balor.
Legit.
Number six, Roman Reigns.
Well, we all know that he wasn't really liked, and Vince was pushing him down everybody's throat. And isn't that when he says suffering succotash sound like Sylvester the Cat?
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. You're a wrestling fan, wrestling nerd. You look back at the breakup of the Shield. Put yourself back in that time. If you had to pick one guy to be a Hall of Famer, one guy to be good, and one guy to fail, Who would you have picked the, like, kind of, you know, fuck, marry, kill version of wrestling here?
All right. At the time of the breakup, I liked Seth Rollins because I knew who he was before he got to WWE NXT. I knew it was Tyler Black, the former Ring of Honor world champion. Roman Reigns, I liked him because he was just like, oh God, he's the muscle of the group. And so I would have said the failed guy would have been Dean Ambrose.
I agree. And now, I wasn't a huge Dean Ambrose fan, and I didn't. And even still now, when I watch Dean, I'm not a big fan of that crazy Dean Ambrose thing he does. You know how that I don't care or I'm too crazy. It works sometimes. Don't get me wrong. But it just never helped me connect with him as an on-air talent. When I look back, I knew who Tyler Black was, and I thought, holy cow, this guy could be a star wherever he goes, and thus he is. And I love the Samoan heritage behind Roman Reigns, yes. And it wasn't really until after COVID where I really actually, the heel turn went, all right, now this guy is going to be a mega star. And it's funny how it takes a heel turn for some people to get right behind somebody.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and we see that now with Dominic Mysterio. Mm-hmm. He was that white meat baby face with his dad. It was like, man, this dude's a goof. He should go to NXT. But then once he turned on his dad, I mean, they put out some great WrestleMania matches, that feud. It's really still going on now.
And I mean, they revisit a little bit. They don't overkill it yet.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's like Dominique has his own stuff going on with Judgment Day and then Ray with LWO. And I mean, it intertwines, but it doesn't get like so much where it's mm-hmm. just like, okay, we've seen enough of this father-son crap. Why don't you make up?
Here we are, 2016 draft, 6th pick overall, Roman Reigns. Let's see here. After Roman Reigns is John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton.
The U.S. championship when he was doing the open challenge.
He was not the champion at the time of the draft. Just so you know, neither was Brock Lesnar or Randy Orton. And then the pick after that was New Day as a whole, and they were also the tag team champions at the time.
Rightfully so.
Now at 11, it's kind of this youth movement that we had saw. That we're seeing now, which are now the veterans in the group. Sami Zayn in 2016 goes at 11. Number 12, Bray Wyatt. Sasha Banks at 13. Becky Lynch at 14. Chris Jericho at 15. Rusev at 16. The Miz at 17.
Hold on. Man, love me some Rusev Day. That was another major... They dropped the ball big time with that one. Mm-hmm. There was nobody hotter at that time with Rusev Day. And then they give Jinder Mahal the championship.
Yeah, that was
Rusev.
But you know what? I'm going to disagree with you for a half second, because that Jinder Mahal championship run at the very beginning, I liked, because they really sold me that at any given time, any given superstar can win it. And the buildup, the out of nowhere, and I would even say the first month of that run, I was like, hey, I kind of like this Jinder guy. So I have to disagree, because like he was like the most, the guy I didn't think could or should win it, and he does, and then they kind of sell it to me, and I bought in like, oh, and he, now it's the last time they did it, but it was like any given guy. They gave him the ball, and I felt like he didn't suck.
You know what? I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you on that sense, but, I mean, the rumblings was that they wanted to, you know, crown Rusev the champion, but he wound up getting hurt. And so Jinder kind of came out of nowhere, going from the jobber to beating Randy Orton and becoming a champion. The wow factor was definitely there. And he did have, people say that he didn't have a good title reign. He had 6 months where he beat Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. These were no chumps that he beat.
I totally agree. At 17, The Miz falls.
Hold on. I wasn't down with Jinder yet, because he recently got released. And I have a feeling he's going to show up somewhere and watch what happens with him, because I mean, he was a former WWE champion, and that doesn't really get swept under the rug, regardless of what name he goes by, wherever he goes next. It's going to be like, he's a credible person.
I can't argue at all with you. I'm excited. I hope he shows up in TNA. I think if he shows up in TNA, he could run that place. He looks good. He can talk on the mic. He's real. And you know, TNA has a good record of taking guys like him and turning them back into superstars.
Oh, exactly.
All right. So Miz at 17, Kevin Owens at 18, Baron Corbin at 19, Enzo and Cash at 20. Boy, reliving some of these names. Let's see here. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson at 21. The American Alphas at 22.
That was my favorite tag team in NXT. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable. Oh my God. Now it was them, DIY, the Revival, Boy, they used to put together some of the best tag team matches in NXT. Like all those takeovers that they had back in the day, that was when Triple H was down there, and he was putting on some stuff that was so good. Those guys would get called up and then they get flushed down the toilet because Vince would all of a sudden change them up from what they were at NXT. And I'm glad now that with Triple H up top and Shawn Michaels doing this thing in NXT, they bring those guys up and they're the exact same. And it's easier to get behind those guys that way.
You know, the only, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and we'll skip ahead here in a second. The only thing I can say is I was not happy with the Bron Breakker name. I really felt like he should have came in with the Steiner last name.
Oh, and absolutely.
Like, I don't know if they said, hey, you're going to be Bron Steiner or whatever. He's like, I don't want to be a Steiner. Cause like some of these younger kids, they want to separate themselves from their fathers.
Oh, they sometimes did it for markets and purposes.
That's right. I mean, I can look back at Curtis Axel, one of those guys.
Michael McGillicuddy?
Yeah. But I felt like if Curtis Axel had his dad's last name, Henning, you know, and they pushed him as a Henning, Sky would have been the limit for the guy.
I would have gone with his first name. I wouldn't have called him Joe. I would have gone with Joseph. A formal first name. And back to Bron Breakker, that sounds too much like a bong breaker. Yeah, your glass bong and
yeah, no, I totally agree. Once again, I think that would be the only exception to the rule.
I agree.
Let's skip to 2003. We've been here for over an hour. Well, let's take a look back at the 2003 draft. If you just joined in, we just went from 2002 to 2016. We skipped a couple of years. It's okay. No one cares. Most people quit watching around 2006. That's my guess. Here we are, 2003, leading up now to this draft, right? Of course you know who the number one overall pick is. Do you remember watching this draft?
I'm 50. I don't remember anything late 1990s to the mid 2000s.
You just told me a story at the beginning of the podcast where you were being drafted and you remember you were eating pasta with just a little bit of sauce, but a tad bit of salt in it. So you remember.
Selective.
All right. Well, going number one overall in 2003, the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, Solo, Paul Heyman.
Quick question.
Yes.
You said it was
2023, sorry.
Oh, okay. Now I can remember. That's not too far back. Yeah, that's a great number one pick.
My bad, people. Yeah, 2023 draft. Let's skip ahead because we're coming up on draft week, Sarah. So let's use this draft and make some predictions here. Number one overall, Roman Reigns. 24, does he go number one overall?
No.
Number two, Cody Rhodes.
He'll be number one.
I think so too. The number three overall pick, Bianca Belair.
It'll be another a woman's wrestler that'll probably go number three, whether it's Becky Lynch, injured Rhea Ripley. And we have a little discussion about Judgment Day going as a group as opposed to Rhea Ripley going by herself or Damian Priest going by himself?
Yes, we did. Go back and watch the last shows on Fightful. We did. The fourth overall pick, Becky Lynch.
She's the women's world champion.
At the time last year, the Raw was Belair. Becky was not a champion in 2023. Street Profits go after her. Number five is, or number six is Imperium, which Gunther's going to be by himself wherever he goes. I think they break him up.
Well, you saw what happened. Did you watch Raw last night?
I did. But on the flip side, I will say Gunther, top three pick. If Roman Reigns is not in this draft, right? He's off TV, getting some family time in. I don't know if he's going to be part of the draft. I can't. I got to assume The Rock won't be in this draft. I'm gonna go on a ledge here and say Roman won't be in this draft. I don't know why I have that feeling. I just don't see him being in this draft right now. Right, out of sight, out of mind, maybe.
Yeah. Him. Seth Rollins just had knee surgery,
mm-hmm.
and so we know he's going to take time off. We don't know if he's going to be in the draft or not. And that'll make for a pleasant surprise around SummerSlam.
So my guess for number two overall, Gunther.
I'm not disagreeing at all. Not disagreeing at all, because he had the historic run as the IC champion. And we need more people in that main event territory.
At number seven overall in 23, Edge.
We can't draft Adam Copeland now.
Nope.
Unless at AEW number eight, gets in the draft.
At number eight, Matt Riddle.
Well, he's in New Japan and MLW.
MLW, that's right. At number nine, Bobby Lashley.
Okay, I see him in the teens. They need to get back to pushing him and get him away
from
that.
Does Lashley fall in the draft? This coming year, or does he go up?
I say he'll be in a team somewhere with the Street Profits together as the Pride, we gotta remember now we're gonna be getting some NXT players in the game, and Carmelo Hayes is supposed to be coming up. Ilan Dragovic, he has a match against Trick Williams, and loser leaves NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see Dragunov losing and being a new member of Imperium.
Do you like NXT in the draft? Because I don't think I do. I feel like, hear me out while you think about this or before you say anything, I feel like if you're going to put NXT in the draft, you take away the believability that NXT with a third pick, whether they pick second or whatever in the draft, are going to draft any real legitimate established talents. And it takes away from what NXT is. It's a place where young talent can build themselves out and get promoted up. So for me to sit there and see NXT draft at number three and they take, you know, some no-name guy over a bunch of established talents, make me go, really? So I feel like NXT shouldn't be in the draft, but some of that talent could declare for the draft. That's how I would have done this going forward, where like NXT talent has the choice to declare for a draft or stay in NXT.
Well, I look at it more like I'm going back to the Major League Baseball draft, and even though they don't have international picks, this is where NXT would qualify. Like getting somebody from the Dominican where you can sign those guys, or someone from Japan, or someone defecting from Cuba, and maybe not a draft, but maybe like a signee. Like they're allowed to pick like three or four main roster ready people, both SmackDown and Raw. So you'll pick like the eight best, and SmackDown and Raw can, you know, sign between the two.
What if NXT talent, this is just, you know, shooting from the hip on this guess or this thought, so feel free to tell me I'm wrong. What if it was like college where, you know, you can get drafted, but you stay in NXT, but you have a year to be brought up to the main roster?
Oh, you're talking about the old draft and follow. Yeah, they used to have that in Major League Baseball, where you can draft a person out of JUCO and they'll play that entire season, and then you can opt to either get them or let them stay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad idea.
See, that's, you know, once again, that was kind of my thought process when we started talking about this. It was like, that would be great. Be like, have them in NXT, be like, I don't know. What's his name? Tony D'Angelo. which he's being rumored to be brought up. But like Tony D'Angelo, you know, down here in NXT, he was actually drafted 15th by SmackDown, but, you know, he can go at any moment. We never know when he'll be called up to the main roster. And then, you know, he's SmackDown for a year until whatever.
Not bad. I like that thought process. I hope you talk to Petey about some of these thoughts that you have, because if we actually see this during the draft, tell Petey he owes us some tickets to like SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and of course WrestleMania.
Giving tickets to SmackDown when it was here in Detroit because it was sold out. You know, oh, screw the people paying money. I want to go for free. I'm just saying. I'm not sure where we left off. Let's see. Bobby Lashley at number 9. Drew McIntyre at 10.
He'll go top 10 pick.
Easily top 10 pick this coming year. And number 11, the OC as a group, AJ, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson. Number 12, The Miz.
He's going to be with R-Truth. And so, you know, they'll probably stay on Raw.
I agree. Damage Control, Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky went 13th overall. Shinsuke Nakamura, another one of those guys. I get that he's Japanese and he doesn't speak English, but that guy needs to be a champion. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a major disservice that he hadn't been WWE or World Heavyweight Champion yet.
Yep. I'm skipping down now because there's a supplemental draft where Apollo Crews went.
Is he still in WWE?
Yeah. It's hard to believe.
Back to him, they brought him up way too soon. They didn't let him develop a real character, his mic skills, just being a professional. They brought him up way too soon based on his athleticism, and they should have worked more on his character. Maybe, hear me out on this one. Big E was talking about him not coming back, and he thinks it would be a good idea that New Day adds a new member. I think Apollo Crews can fit that bill. He has the smile, the athleticism, and him being around Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods would definitely boost him up.
I don't hate that thought. You know, that's one guy that could use a new fresh coat of paint on him. And you look what New Day did when they came around, because no one cared about New Day when they created New Day. They were a gospel choir group at first, it seemed like, or a very religious group was, you know, Kofi was, you know, several years out of Kofi Mania and just kind of fell on wrestling hard times. Big E didn't really do much, and, you know, Xavier Woods, he was still kind of a young buck at the time, and I think, you know, I'd like to see a third member. I don't know who would be outside of Apollo Crews a realistic member, although I think it'd be funny if R-Truth pretended to be the third member at times of every group.
Well, and R-Truth and Kofi held the WWE tag team belts way back when.
Yeah. So there's so much they can do in this draft coming up. I'm actually excited for the first time in many years for it. But once again, I think they're going to miss an opportunity if they don't do it like a real draft in the futures. If Triple H sticks around, he really wants this to be different. It needs to be a YouTube show. It needs to be a standalone draft with, like you said, baseball or the NFL draft kind of setup.
Yeah, or NBA, have them dress up in these outlandish suits and stuff and come up there and be like, yeah, I'm going to go to Raw and I'm going to win the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, kind of dress it up a little bit. I agree with you.
But yeah, there's
definitely don't need matches.
Oh, no, no. I would love to see a camera pan on like a superstar falling in the draft, like an Aaron Rodgers, where you just see him.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just see him after every pick, just trying to figure out why he can't get drafted or what's going, you know, stuff like that would be really cool where, you know, you still have the entertainment side of it, but you bring in this sports humanizing aspect of these guys, like being drafted high would mean something to these guys.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll put them in a title contention a lot sooner. You know, they'll be mentioned every time they have a match, you know. Oh, Ricochet, he was drafted number 3 in this year's draft. You know, they're expecting a lot of good things out of him on Raw or SmackDown. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's it. All right, listen, we're going to call this a show. It might have been our longest show to date right now, over an hour and 15 minutes. I can't wait to talk to you off the air here in a second, but anything going on? Anything you want to promote?
Right now,
I ask you every week. You don't.
Yeah, you do. I don't have anything coming up for the next 3 weeks, but I just want to give the shout out to Shane Swerve Strickland and winning the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, being the first Black wrestler to hold that belt. Thank you, Tony Khan, for that. I just wanted to give AEW some love and TNA. That was a great pay-per-view. Rebellion was pretty awesome in itself. And, you know, wrestling as a whole has been incredible to watch as a whole. And I mean, just keep it up. All companies, all organizations, just keep up the great work. Sign who you got to sign. Build who you have to build. Keep making it exciting for us to watch and be able to talk about it.
All right, listen, Wrestling Perspective, you can watch us over on Fightful. Sometimes, like I said, over on this feed, we like to do our live shows when we don't have a guest. When we do have a guest, it goes to Fightful first. You will be able to watch this replay on Fightful if you miss anything. But if you're watching on Fightful and you're like, hey, these guys are kind of cool, come on over to our social media stuff. Follow us here because, you know, you'll get live. We'll interact with the people. Joel, once again, thank you. Yes, we're still on Fightful. Lars is taking a hiatus, and it's me and two-time MLB All-Star Comeback Player of the Year, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Washington, Detroit, Dimitri Young. So,
yeah, Prince Nana.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Fightful people, thank you so much for watching. Hopefully your guy gets drafted. Too sweet. That's right. NWO. Reminds me real quick before we go. I bought one shirt off a WWE shop, which was an NWO shirt a few years ago. You might even still be doing the podcast then. I buy it, and the logo is down by the belly button. It was misprinted, and I was so pissed off. That's my I've always wanted an NWO shirt. I finally went out to get one, and I get one, and like the logo's down here. It looks ridiculously bad. Maybe
why don't you talk to Petey about it? He's in WWE now. So hey, you cannot replace this.
Listen, Pete, you've eaten off my plate. You've spent the night in my house. Get your boy an NWO shirt, Petey. Come on, Petey Williams. I know you're watching. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We will be back next week, maybe with a draft recap, maybe with a guest. Who knows? We don't know because we're playing it by ear. So thank you so much for watching. Dimitri Young, Dennis Farrell, Wrestling Perspective. We'll see you guys next week. So goodbye.
Saving money on exterior wall lights now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.